Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Bixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. And the opening segment of our show every day is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. We're glad you're with us. We're going to be talking to a sports writer from the Biloxi Sun-Herald, Scott Watkins, about Sunbelt basketball a little later in the show. We're also going to hear from Brewer Carruth, a member of the men's basketball team, as Kelly did a number of interviews with basketball today. And Kelly, before we get on into the show, the kind of vibe that you got from men's basketball today was what?
I think they're pumped. I really don't think that, generally speaking, they even knew. The guys even knew what kind of team they had when the new guys came in. There were only a few guys that were left over, you know, including Brewer Carruth, Tegra Izay. We're going to hear from him, you know, in the next day or two. But they just didn't know what kind of team they had, other than knowing that they were athletic and deep, you know, barring any severe health situations. And that has proven to be the case. And they grant, you know, that they've won a couple road games, not against maybe the best teams in the Sun Belt, but the fact that they've that builds a little confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think they like where they sit right now.
You'd like to do what I like to do when I interview athletes. I like to talk about sometimes other than just sports, you know, their personal thoughts about stuff. And you indicated to me, which kind of leads into this segment, these guys are a little frustrated about the status of college sports right now.
Yeah, they even told me that. They said, look, we hate it as much as everybody else does. But they stopped short of, and I understand this, you know, they stopped short of condemning what was going on, because they had a very mature, you know, most of them had a very mature attitude of, you know, I've never walked in anybody else's shoes. I don't know how important money might be, what their family concept is, and what the dynamic is in their family. In some of the players, they just said money is not that important to me. The degree really does mean something, and I'm here to be educated. I'm going to get my master's degree, etc. But again, they stop short of saying that they would ever judge anybody for taking the money, and told everybody else to just don't judge, because you just don't know what situation people are in, and if they're given that opportunity and they make that choice.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize, we've never criticized, I don't think, the athletes here. It's the system.
Correct.
And Dima really brought this to the forefront yesterday with this article he found. And that prompted me, Dima, to get the Eagle Hour investigative team, me, working this morning.
Our crack staff.
That's our crack investigative staff, which would be me. And here's what I got some information gathered on average American salaries in the year that just ended, 2025. Okay. Physicians/surgeons is how they listed it. An average salary of $228,000 a year. That's average now. School teachers across the country, $65,000. Police officers, $68,000. Firemen, $45,000. Nurses, $75,000. Now, can the three of us agree that between doctors, school teachers, police officers, firemen, and nurses, there really are no more important people in our society? That the work they do is vital to our society.
Yeah. I mean, you could add politicians in there as well. But just because, I mean, I'm not saying that all politicians are great, but I mean, they do is important.
All right. So you get those salaries. Now, I want to compare that to five other salaries I pulled up. Let's compare nurses. Now, let's start at the top. Let's compare physicians/surgeons to Dylan Stewart, who was the quarterback at South Carolina.
He was a defensive end.
Okay. Well, this is even worse then. The physician averaged $228,000. Dylan earned $2.2 million. School teachers earned $65,000, while Drew Mestemaker, is that his name? North Texas?
Yeah.
$2.3 million.
who just signed a $7 million deal at Oklahoma State, by the way.
Police officers. Now, how important are they?
Yeah.
$68,000 a year compared to Dante Moore at Oregon, which you can watch this week, who's going to make $2.3 million. Firemen at $45,000 compared to Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, $2.6 million. And here's my favorite one. Nurses who keep people alive in hospitals. We can agree, they're just so vital. $75,000 compared to Arch Manning's $5.3 million.
We could add sports writers to the list, too. No.
Correct. And well, they would be up in the six figures, but close to physicians.
Actually, I was thinking they were more on the other end.
I think we're on the two figures. Yeah. But
can the three of us agree that this is absurd?
It's crazy, no doubt about it. It's just completely different world that sports money is, and where all these other jobs lie. And I don't really know how they're going to fix it. I don't know if I think it's personally might have gone too far at this point that it might not ever get fixed.
You agree with that, Kelly? I worry about that muscle.
And here's the thing, too. Let's go back to Ohio State, who was the last year's champion. All right, what Dima, we figure about that they spent on players last year.
Every team spends a lot of money on
I understand,
players.
But just give me a number. Just give me any number.
I think it was 15 to 20 million.
All right, 15 to 20 million. And they won. Okay, good for them. But so what?
I know.
So what? They won the national championship.
Other than entertainment.
Yeah.
It was good entertainment.
So what does that do for Ohio State today? Now, I know by the TV contracts, and by going further, you get more TV money.
Here, let me rephrase that.
What does
it do for the state of Ohio? The average guy in the state of Ohio, how did that help him?
Well, from a realistic life perspective, you're correct in saying it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. But, and I hate speaking on this because I'm going to get, you know, everybody knows where my fandom lies.
Well, forget that it's Ohio State.
So if it was any other college football program, though, winning a national championship is really important. And so going through that and winning a championship at Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, Indiana, I mean, it is worth that money at the end of the day, I think.
How?
I just think it is.
Well, I hear you, but there has to be a reason why you feel that way.
Because I think it's better than going 8-4 every single year and not even competing in the national playoffs and national championship at that level. That's why everybody's spending all this money.
You know, I can remember growing up, and I would get so emotional about a Redskin loss, and I can remember my father saying, "Get a life, boy. That ain't going to change your life one
correct.
Bit, whether
yes.
they win or lose."
That is correct. You're thinking of it from a more realistic life perspective, and I agree with y'all on that. That mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. But I'm saying if you're in that program, you're not thinking twice about the money because you know that at the end of the day, it will be worth every penny.
But we can all agree that the money has just
gotten
sinfully ridiculous.
But I just would say that I wouldn't just throw up my hands and say, "Oh, great, we won the national championship. It really didn't matter." Like, no, it does matter to the schools.
To the school.
Yeah.
To the school.
Yeah.
I agree.
To the fans.
But the risk.
All these Ole Miss fans are going to semifinals?
No, I get it.
I mean, they wouldn't even had a chance to do that.
We're not blaming Ohio State.
I'm just saying that, like, Ole Miss wouldn't have had a chance to be in the national playoffs without number one and 12-team playoff and NIL.
But what I'm saying is, all right, so whoever wins, then there's a risk versus reward. There's how much you put into it and what you got out of it. And I would just argue on both points. You just made the realistic, the pragmatic point of view is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't change anybody's life drastically one way or the other. But is spending $15 to $20 million for a national championship, whoever it is it worth it? And I just under no circumstances would I think it's worth it.
I don't know. I mean, I want to think about it from Indiana's perspective, right? Kurt Cignetti taking Indiana to where they are currently, number one team in the country, undefeated. They would not have had a chance to do that ever without NIL. No player would have transferred there without money. It wouldn't have happened. They
okay.
were the losing
no, it's all
program.
About it's all about money.
Yes.
Now.
No, I get
but
that.
I'm saying, so we also, while we are negative about NIL a lot, there are some positives that you're making these programs, Indiana, Ole Miss, Miami, Oregon, the four teams left, and other teams, they have chances to compete against. It's not going to be the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Georgias every single year now. That is the good news about NIL. So if they could regulate it somehow, there is some good underlying there. There is some good. it's not all negative. Now, the money is crazy, and I wish we could change it. You're right. You know, $4 million to quarterbacks is ridiculous. Everybody agrees on that. But there's no way to regulate it at this point, and I just feel like that's just the truth.
What will it take? We've got about 20 seconds left. What would it take? Congressional? God, you don't want them.
Oh,
involved.
No, no.
You don't want them.
Well, they're
them
the ones who started all this with the House settlement.
They sure did. They sure did. And then you see what it got us. Yeah, you're exactly correct. Well, anyway.
It just used to be the degree was what you played for.
And the school.
And the school is who the fans cheered for. It was so much more simplistic and
better.
Pure.
Pure. That's a good word.
And now it's anything but the degree and the school. And I still think, you know, no matter who wins the national championship, okay, good for you. Was it worth $30 million? I don't think so.
What does Helga think?
Helga, the East German shot putter, who is now
Jenny's ice cream?
A star on this show.
All right, we're going to talk basketball when we come back. We're going to hear from Scott Watkins on the coast. Still to come, Brewer Carruth as well. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, the guys down at Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 here in Hattiesburg invite you to come see them for Goodyear Tires. Got some work you need done on your car or truck? They do full service auto work at Eagle Tire West. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They've been family operated since 1985, and they're big Southern Miss supporters. And we thank Eagle Tire West for all that.
And you can have your car ready to go to drive to Dickie's to pick up your catering that we didn't mention in the first segment.
Look at that. Isn't that something? Dickie's. Thank you, Kelly, very much.
Sure.
Or you could have a great meal tonight at Dickie's.
If you so
and
chose.
You could have your ice cream and cream spinach and some good
and mix it barbecue together. It's delicious.
And a blimp.
Oh, yeah, and a Goodyear blimp from,
from Goodyear.
And a Goodyear, too. Hey, also, Had the great pleasure of spending some time in a conversation this morning with the folks at MCS Home Center. And there's just no finer group of people. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project they've got at MCS Home Center. And they're local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West. And are there any nicer people around, Kelly?
No, and they're so nice, too, because I was telling them I was in the market for a certain thing, like an eye mask. Because I tend to get mace sprayed at me a lot. So they said, it's not really made for that, but we think this would probably work. You know, so whatever you need, man, they're there for you.
All right, Helga.
Okay, Helga's got him all upset. Scott Watkins doesn't know anything about Helga. You've never met Helga, have you, Scott?
I've never met Helga.
Okay, you don't want to. It's a friend of Kelly's. Scott writes for the Biloxi Sun-Herald, and we appreciate him coming on the show whenever we ask him. I wanted to talk to him about basketball. We'll be talking to Brewer Carruth a little later in the show. Scott, I broke it down today. Man, the research department was
it was on fire.
Overtime this morning. Top five teams in the league, Georgia Southern, believe it or not, at the top. Troy, Southern Miss, Arkansas State, and Marshall. Bottom five, James Madison, Coastal, Old Dominion, Louisiana, and Monroe. Well, here's my question. How good are any of the top five teams in the Sun Belt, Scott?
You know, I actually think that this is going to be an up year for the Sun Belt compared to the last couple of years. We've kind of seen the product dip a little bit, and it dipped from a place that was already pretty low. If the product isn't up, I think it's at least going to be exciting because you don't have one team like a James Madison that's just far and away better than the rest. Mm-hmm. You've got seven teams that can win a championship, to be honest with you.
Hmm. Okay, who would that be outside of Georgia Southern, Troy, USM, Arkansas State, Marshall? Are there two that I'm overlooking?
South Alabama has the best defense in the league. They're the only team that's given up less than 100 points per 100 possessions. App State is always going to be around. I think that they're going to be contending as well. And really, you also have to kind of take in the format of the tournament now, which at first glance you think, you know, at the first and second seed, that's a huge advantage being a game away. But with so little space, like such a tiny talent gap, I don't think there is any talent gap between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and hardly any between 5 and 6. You get there, those 3 and 4 seeds are going to have an advantage because they get to play. Yeah. The day before 1 and 2 gets to play. And so you throw that in, and yeah, I think anybody in the top six could really win it.
Yeah, I said that on Monday, Scott, that I thought that the top six for Southern Miss basketball would be kind of like the best-case scenario because you get the triple bye, or maybe even a quadruple bye, but you get basically 3 or 4 games off, but you also get to play before playing one of the top seeds, and which we've seen in sports that getting the best bye possible isn't always the best. Now, with what the Sun Belt schedule lays out, you know, if you get to that 1 or 2 seed, you know, you have 2 games and you win the championship. But, you know, I don't think 3 games is insurmountable as a 5 or 6 game, you know, tournament would be.
No, you're absolutely right. I think the line comes after that 6th seed. I think if you're 7th or worse, your odds are pretty enormous. But once you're in that top 6, I mean, I think that 3, 4, 5, 6, that's a sweet spot. If you get in there, you got a great shot.
You know, and you guys talked about getting the byes. It has really been put under the microscope the last couple of years in the college football playoff that the teams who have got to sit at home and have gotten the byes have not performed well, even after having the time off. So with that, you guys, there are some people in the sports world. Now, this is far-fetched, I grant you. But if you earn the number one seed, so to speak, should the reward for getting that number one seed, you be allowed to place yourself in the bracket where you wanted to be? And if that were the case, so for example, even though you could have a 4-day break, you might not want one. So you could literally place yourself in where you would have to play a game or two before you get to the final. If people were given that chance, how many would avail themselves to it? Scott, what do you think?
I actually love that idea. I think you should tell Keith that right now. That's a fantastic idea. I think at least one, I know Jay Ladner would do it without a doubt. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Does that make sense, you guys, what I'm talking about? That you wouldn't automatically get put into where you'd have 3 or 4 days off?
When you look at the college playoffs, I think Indiana's the only team so far that got a first-round bye that's won a game.
Yes. Correct.
1-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You see it in the NFL. You know, see divisional guys that get the bye lose in the first round.
And coaches know their teams, too. Yeah. They go, we don't do well after being off for 7 days or whatever, so we want to play. Mm-hmm. So should the team that earns that number one spot, so to speak, get to literally fill their own name in the bracket and go where they want to go?
That would be cool. I mean, I don't think that's anything like that in sports. I think that would be really cool. I think, you know, there should be somewhat of an advantage for the 1 and 2 seed. Scott, I wanted to ask you about coming up for Southern Miss, obviously 2 home games this week, winnable games, but obviously, you know, every game in the Sun Belt currently is just kind of really, like you said, really balanced. Anybody could win on any given day. But if they were to win those 2 games, they'd be 5-1 before headed to Troy next week, who's one of the top teams in the conference. How would you see a Southern Miss potentially 5-1 team headed to Troy shape out?
Scott, are you with us?
I think maybe that was the call on your phone, Bob. Maybe was he trying to get back through? Maybe we lost him.
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Hey, you guys got me?
Oh, there he is.
There he goes.
Yeah, we found you. We thought we had lost you there.
That's all good. Anyway, yeah, 5-1, that would be a good spot to be. And that would actually be a great spot to be because they have been gifted this first half of the schedule.
Correct.
Where you're getting you've got the 4 Louisianas right up front. Those are the 2 – or the 4 Louisiana games against those 2 teams. Those are the 2 worst teams of the conference. You have to win those games. Texas State's kind of middling. You get that one. Yeah, you're in great shape, absolutely. Then it gets tough. So I think that Troy game, that's going to be the first time that we really learned what kind of team we have on our hands.
All right, we got 90 seconds left. Scott, give us your eval of this Southern Miss team. The three of us believe this is an improved team from last year.
They do look improved. I haven't been sold just yet. You know, if they get to 5-1 and they play well against Troy, they beat Troy, I'm going to renew my KenPom subscription at that point. But until then, I got to see more proof.
Well, how good is your alma mater, Troy?
They were pretty solid, but at the same time, they kind of had a weird. They've had a weird season. You know, they had their biggest win ever in program history, and then almost had their new biggest win ever in program history, like the day after against USC. But then they've also lost some just really inexplicable games. So I don't know what kind of team you're going to see out of Troy on a day-by-day basis.
And Kelly, you know a little bit about Georgia Southern. They're sitting at the top of the pile right now. What do you know about their basketball program?
One of the things that Coach Charlie over there has been able to do is establish consistency. Bob, he's kept players around that he's had for 2 or 3 years. Now, I'm sure, obviously, there's been some wheeling and dealing going on, but we talk about consistency from the coaching staff on down to the players. Georgia Southern has that where most of the other teams don't, and that's the only thing I can put my finger on.
Yeah. All right, if you were a betting man, Scott, you were going to bet right now, who would you say is the favorite to win the league?
Early favorite, I mean, it looks like Georgia Southern, of course. I'm gonna go in a weird direction. Marshall looks like the old Marshall. They score a ton of points. They shoot the ball very efficiently. That's the type of team that gets hot, and if they get hot at the precise right moment, it doesn't matter if they're not regular season champs. They have a great shot in the tournament.
And again, this year, one team gets in the big dance, one only?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. What's got to happen to break that cycle?
You need a team that's willing to schedule tough out of conference, and then they win those games.
So we give them that one. We're just stuck with one.
Easier said than done. Hey, Scott, we really appreciate it, man. Happy New Year to you. We look forward to having you on the show throughout the new year.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, Scott Watkins.
To be fair, I mean, Southern Miss, you know, they scheduled some pretty tough non-conferences. South Carolina, LSU, Miami. So, you know, if they would have won a couple of those games, of course, I don't think that would have, like, put them in an at-large discussion. But, I mean, to be fair, they were the ones, you know, outside of the Sun Belt, really scheduling. I mean, when the non-conference schedule came out, we were like,
To show you how far behind the Sun Belt is compared to all the others, because, and again, you go back to a different administration, if you will, in the basketball. The team won 32 games not long ago at Southern Miss and
didn't get a sniff
from the NCAA tournament. No,
unbelievable.
It's,
yeah, they were like 26-4 at one point. Yeah. They weren't even close to the tournament.
Right.
Last week, Coach Ladner told us that Brewer Carruth he thought was the best athlete on his team. That came as a little bit of a surprise, but we'll hear what that young man has to say about this basketball team. And Kelly says they're optimistic. We'll hear from Brewer next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Our DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. That's a great place to go for baseball and softball training on Hardy Street. Check out Luke Reynolds down at DBAT, state-of-the-art facility. Really beautiful inside, too. And everything you need to be the best that you can be in the sport of your choice. And Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. It's the new year. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health can be as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. All right, earlier today, Kelly spent some time with the guys on the basketball team. Brewer Carruth is the guy getting a lot of praise right now from Coach Ladner, and Kelly talked to that young man. Here's how that interview went.
First of all, Brewer, let's talk about Carruth. Let's learn a little bit about you as a player. Carruths are a football family.
I know it.
Right? I mean, so how do you wind up playing basketball when you could have just as easily played football?
You know, I grew up playing football. As you say, it was a football family. I mean, I can't count on two hands how many people in my family play football and stuff. But
Well, your uncle had a very high, with the Packers, right?
He kind of got us going with he played at Alabama Packers and a little with the Chiefs, but he just growing up, I loved football. Football was my favorite sport up until about junior high. And that's when I really started falling in love with basketball, and I was like, man, I really want to do this in college. Like, this is what I want to do.
What was it about basketball, though?
I don't know. I'm a real, if you know me, I'm a real high-paced, energetic person. I've really bad ADHD, and I guess I can credit the fast-pacedness. I mean, it's not like a, you know, football, you run a play, stop. But then again, I'm nothing against football. I love football, but I something about basketball.
Don't regret the choice at all.
I don't. No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
You're one of the few guys that actually came back, you know, from last season. What did you initially think of this group that Coach Ladner brought in this year as to what the potential for this team was?
We came in, and at an early stage, I knew we were talented. And kind of like we had a talented group last year, too, but what it comes down to is how well we're going to mesh together and play together in chemistry and stuff. So in the summer, once we got through, I knew we had a good team together because I don't think we had one bad guy on the team. And so we got going, and sky's the limit for this team. I feel like when we play together, we're hard to beat.
So did you question at all what your role was going to be and how you fit in with these ingredients compared to last year's recipe?
At the beginning, I remember in the summer, I didn't really know anybody. So all I knew was Jet, Tag, and Dalen. And so I knew what they did, I knew what I did, but I had to figure out what I need to do to not amplify my strengths, but theirs, like everybody around me's too. So like as I got going, it's a little easier to see what I need to do to make this person play his best and as well as myself. But
growth as a player is always incremental. Right, so let's talk about the first day that you got here. What did you consider the strengths of your game, the weaknesses of your game, and then let's compare it to where you are today?
Well, coming in as a freshman, I was a little scrawny kid, and I was weighing in at like 185 pounds. And credit Coach King, Brian King, he got me in the weight room, and I remember talking to him last year when we were playing UAB. He was like, "Hey, we're gonna put on some weight. We're gonna get going, and then by this time next year, you're gonna look good. You're gonna be strong, and one of the strongest guys." I was like, "Let's do it. I'm bought in." So that was one thing. That was probably the main thing I worked on this summer and this off season was putting on weight, and I put on about 20 pounds, and I feel better. I'm moving better, and it's a lot easier to get things done on the court, and that's probably where I've grown the most in my game.
I don't think that people really understand how physical a game basketball can be.
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, I'll get done with games at times and feel like I played a football game almost. But
yeah, you're going, "I chose basketball and wound up playing football." So what are some, besides the weight, what were some things that you really felt, because I know all you guys are driven, anybody that plays at this level is driven. What were some things about your game that you're going, "Look, if I'm going to be the best I can be, I have got to pick this up"?
One thing that comes to mind immediately is consistency. I was kind of a streaky player last year, and with the sense of one day I'm doing this, another day I'm doing a completely different thing. So consistency, and then if we want to get specific, decision making, and then shooting, and I think I've increased in all those areas this year.
You really can be used in a lot of different positions on the basketball court. What's your favorite and why?
I'd have to say a wing, like a three guard or a two guard. They're kind of the same in the instance of the offense we run, and but I don't know. I like to. I'm a big defensive-oriented guy. I like to I'm a pick-up full-court guy, guard you 94 feet, and kind of score on the defensive end, like use defense to make offense. I love to do that, but if I had to say, I'd probably go two, a shooting guard.
Okay, so going forward now, I mean, you guys are obviously, you're hanging in there, winning those conference games, stealing some on the road. That always helps. Going forward, what do you guys have to improve upon as a team in order to get that high seeding in the Sun Belt tournament?
Well, coming up coming up tomorrow specifically, we'll take it one game at a time, but and looking back on our last two games, our big road wins, we got to get better at transition defense. We got to be better at rebounding. And like if you most of the time, if you win the rebounding battle, you win the game. So that's two areas where we've struggled the past couple games, and I know we can be the best at. So that's and Coach Ladner's been applying that every day at practice as well.
One of the things that we've noted is how long the basketball season is. It used to be back in the day. I mean, when I was your age, there were no basketball games played until way after Thanksgiving, and now the schedule goes into October, and you hope to be playing, you know, in late March. So how do you guys handle I mean, it's a grind of all the college sports. I think basketball is the biggest grind.
It is. I learned quick last year and that you have to amplify recovery as much as practice, especially as you get into February and like we are now in January, and it gets rough. Your body, it takes a toll on your body for sure. And if you're not recovering the proper way, then it come March, then you're gassed out.
And I want to go back to the, and I know you're probably tired of talking about it, but the whole Carruth thing. I mean, the fact that that's your last name, what to whatever conscious level there was, did you feel any pressure to be an athlete? Even if you'd have gone to your parents and said, I want to play piano or I want to dance, what would the reaction have been?
I do actually play a little piano. I took some lessons, but
So you're more well-rounded than we even thought.
Yes, sir, for sure. But no, there was no pressure. I mean, my parents did a great job of just whatever I love, pursue that. And I was proud to be Carruth for sure. And I thought it was really cool, like the background of everything. But no really pressure.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, what would you tell Southern Miss fans about this team that are still kind of scratching their heads, going, well? We hung with a couple of those really good teams and we beat a couple teams on the road, but they're those teams probably aren't going to be among the best in the league. People that still aren't sure about this team, what would you tell them, Brewer?
I'd say just wait, because don't be surprised when we make some noise, and I could see this team winning the league for sure, no doubt. I don't doubt it one bit.
Well, that is great to hear, buddy.
Yes, sir.
We wish you nothing but the best. Thank you for sticking with Southern Miss.
For sure.
And we hope that you'll be here for a couple of years to come.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, Brewer Carruth. And Kelly, you've got a couple more kids we're going to be hearing from them this week as well.
Yeah, I got to talk to Tegra Izze because he allowed it.
He's a big dude, isn't he?
Yeah. If Tegra says he's not up to it, yeah, okay. We can reschedule. You know, no big deal. Yeah, we got to sit down and talk with him. And we got to talk to Kurt Lewis, too, who's been steadily making progress and making contributions, but he's kind of been under the radar. He's been kind of, you don't really hear a lot from Kurt Lewis.
The Tegra is a picture with my wife is a family classic. It will be a Getty classic forever.
People think that is Photoshopped.
It's not. It's not. She's not very big.
No, she's not. And he's exceptionally big, so.
Hey, in case you've been wondering what Jeremy McClain thinks about all the turmoil that's been swirling around, he's going to be on the show Friday at 1 o'clock, going to spend a good bit of time with us, and we'll have an opportunity to ask him, what's ever on his mind. He'll tell us, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm interested to hear, because Blake Anderson told us on at his introductory press conference that Louisiana Tech game next season for football is now a conference game. So Southern Miss still doesn't have a full 12-game slate next season.
Good question.
I know I've asked him that twice. He's been on the show, and he hadn't had an answer yet. So I feel like I have to ask him maybe third time's the charm, yeah, right, for that question.
Let's schedule the Bengals. They can't beat anybody.
Yeah. Oh, he's got jokes. He's got jokes.
It looks like it's going to be a 5-game home regular season with that happening, with Louisiana Tech now being more than likely a road game in conference. Yeah. That would make a 7-game road season next season for Southern Miss football.
Well, you know, Coach Anderson doesn't have much on his plate, so what will that hurt, right?
Yeah. I'm sure he's just kicked back, relaxed right now.
I'm sure.
We could maybe even ask Jeremy when ground will be broken on Reed Green College.
I'll let you ask Jeremy that.
Thanks a lot.
Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Helga could ask him.
Get Helga to ask him.
Yeah, she only speaks German.
Oh, okay. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. That's how you hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. What does Ernesto think about Helga? But that's you can answer that at a later date.
What about Kelnack?
Kelnack, yeah. How about him? What is he? What's the future for only you and Helga?
Only he knows.
The future for Kelly and Helga. Only Kelnack knows. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors the fourth segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day. We appreciate them, as we do Mo Bay Beignet Company down on Hardy Street. And, of course, our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Hope that you can find a way to do business with all these fine local business owners and always do business with local folks first.
I think just about most of the sponsors we have are locally
They're
owned
all
businesses.
Local people, yes, yeah. No question. All right, Dima Mixon, news and notes.
Yeah, so Southern Miss former head coach Todd Monken being mentioned as one of the candidates for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job. That was a job that it was actually, I believe, you know, he was in line for a couple of seasons ago, Kelly. They ended up going with another head coach, and then obviously now he's back in line for a head coaching job. It seems like every single year he's in line for all these jobs, then he just never takes one. But I'm wondering, since now that the Baltimore head coach is gone, I'm wondering if Monken's going to also leave.
Well, what's intriguing to me is the fact that he already interviewed with the Browns once. So the fact that they're bringing him back tells me that there was something the first time around that they really, really liked, and they said, we want to keep our eye on this guy. And now they're bringing him back again for an interview. And I don't think it would be a token interview. I think it would be something that that Cleveland is really interested in because of the first round with him.
Yeah, I found it hard to believe that he was interested in going back to college football. But maybe he is. I mean, I don't know.
Well, and it could have been. And, of course, Clemson has since hired a different offensive coordinator. But that could have been out of necessity, Bob. If they were getting word, and we don't know, the Baltimore coaches might have been getting word that this was coming down. Mm-hmm. And so you want to try to grab something.
Yeah, and speaking of Clemson, Corey Myrick, former safety at Southern Miss, did transfer to Clemson over the past 24 hours. So good for Corey, and that was one of the players that I think everybody assumed was just going to go to Memphis and follow Huff, but he ended up going to Clemson. So him and Chris Jones are the two defensive players who have not followed Huff and Coach Seymour to Memphis. And then finally for baseball, Colby Allen named second-team All-American by Perfect Game. Preseason All-American for Colby Allen. And, guys, I know I said this off-air, but I want to mention this on-air. I was taking a peek at the Southern Miss baseball schedule
I kind of
forgot. These opening 15 games or so, holy cow. I mean, you're talking about UC Santa Barbara to start, which should be the most incredible Friday night.
Three games.
Yeah, Friday night game, Flora versus Allen. Southeastern Louisiana on the road, which is never a gimme by any means. Mm-hmm. Purdue, Oregon State, Baylor in that Round Rock Classic. So those are neutral site games against Power 4 teams. Bama at home before going on the road again to Louisiana Tech, which is no gimme. I mean, I don't think it should be a gimme to sweep out there. Mississippi State at home after that, and then Nichols after that. So that's, I mean, your first 12 to 15 games are all teams who could be in regionals.
Awesome.
Well, that's
he likes it that way.
That toughness of schedule is what's going to, you know, if there's a thing that can teeter you one way or the other, that strength of schedule certainly
you
helps.
You could come out of that stretch 500 and have a great year.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be in position to really have a good year.
And you guys, I've been waiting to break this on the show today.
I'm getting nervous.
I've got an idea that would raise money for the NIL, and there would be something in it for people to contribute this way. Have Southern Miss partner with the state lottery, okay? You go to any places that you can get lottery tickets. You buy a scratch off for X amount of money. That money goes to the Southern Miss NIL or to the top or however they're working it now. You do the scratch off, and if you win, you get to play on the football team next year. You're a starter with the football team.
Yeah. I knew there was a hook here, and I knew it wasn't going to be good.
Well, what do you think?
I stopped listening when he said lottery. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you and Helga put y'all a little pillow talk last night?
See, now everybody that's listened today that didn't listen yesterday is going, who is this Helga?
Kelly has a new woman in his life.
Yes.
It's Helga from West Germany.
Why don't you explain where Helga came from for our listeners?
Former shot putter, I believe.
Well, you can talk about what's going on in your life.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, that Carr and I are expecting a child.
And Carr is your wife.
Carr is my wife. We're expecting our first child in July, and we're very excited. And this week was the week we were able to find out the gender, right? And we know the gender, but we're not announcing till later this week after our families can see it. So Kelly was basically going all in on me, saying, "Who's it going to be?" And then just out of the literal midst of nowhere, and you can attest this, Bob, it was out of nowhere. He goes, "Well, if it's a girl, you can name her Helga." You know, just random.
He's got a weird mind. But the great news is that Dima has confirmed, and he's talked it over with his wife, if it's a boy, it's going to be Kelly Bob Mixon. Is that not going to be an awesome name?
Yeah. For somebody.
What do you think, Dima? You like it?
It might be one of my rat's names or something.
I was going to say, it'll be a nice name for somebody other than with the last name of Mixon, because it ain't going to happen in that.
Kelly Bob. Come here, Kelly Bob. Get over here, Kelly Bob.
She'd be perfect,
time
I think,
for dinner, Kelly Bob.
For the Deep South. So how many players do we have on the roster now for the football team?
Well, I mean, they did sign. They got it signed, and they got a couple more signees coming today. So it's starting to go up a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to do all right. Blake, yeah. Give Blake Anderson some time.
Yeah, and we're just playing around, you guys. We're just kidding.
Nobody wants to see Blake Anderson succeed more than the three of us.
Of course.
That's absolutely sure. All right, Jeremy McClain on the show Friday. Don't forget that at 1 o'clock. Lots to talk to the AD about. We'll be back tomorrow at 1. Until then, thanks for listening every day. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.